Stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, a fun, informative talk show putting a spotlight on sustainability from around the globe. Mrs. Green doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. The Fairfax Companies are dedicated to improving the environment through creative and innovative business practices. Fairfax is the leader in the business of sustainability. As a leader in the construction waste industry, they demonstrate that it's possible to implement sustainable business practices profitably. Fairfax's mission is to find or create markets for all waste disposal in construction and demolition landfills. They screen and sort all construction and demolition waste that passes through their gates. By sorting these materials, they make sure that as much recyclable material as possible is diverted from the landfill and nothing goes into the landfill that may be harmful to the environment. Visit their website at www.thefairfaxcompanies.com for more information. Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. How exciting is that? And as I said, as Dave said, this show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies, and I am just inviting you to get ready for another outstanding, fun, informative show today. We have an in-studio guest, and I love when that happens, and this guest happens to be a regular if you've been listening to my show for 3.5 years. Her name is Colleen Crowninshield, and she is, I like to call her the Queen of the Clean Cities Coalition. I don't think that's your official title, is it? But you answered a queen.
Not officially, but I answered anything.
You answered a queen, and talk about fun and informative. We will be chatting your ears off with a lot of really what I call content-rich information about what Clean Cities is, why it gives us such a great hope for the future, and why Colleen is so passionate about what she does and works absolutely tirelessly to change the world in which we live. And I am very grateful for that. So thanks for being here, kiddo.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to do a little bit of green news. I think October, it's really a lot of us are talking about it. Here in Tucson and around the country, people want to start getting out. It's fall, the summer's over, people are cleaning their yards, they're going to functions. You want to be outside. I was at a function last night and people said, isn't this great just being outside? Because we live in the desert here, so being outside is an exciting event for us to share with the world. So I want to talk quickly, if I can get it in, about what I call the emerging marriage of science and art. And it makes so much sense to me, and it's happening more and more around the world and around the country. And I see it because I'm a green news junkie. So in Tucson, they're going to have this event that it just sounds so unbelievably intriguing and awesome. It's called Water is Rising. And it's in Tucson. We have the University of Arizona, and it's at Centennial Hall on Friday, October 1st. And it's using a performance that uses art to raise awareness and action about the impact of climate change in the Pacific Islands, or actually islands that are disappearing. They are measuring it. It's happening pretty rapidly. It's not to cause alarm, just to raise awareness, but they're being submerged by the rising sea levels. It's the first time in the United States, and I hope you can really check it out. Go to uvapresents.org. Always email Mrs. Green, Gina at Mrs. Green's World, or info at Mrs. Green's World. Water is rising. So get involved. It's October. Have fun and get your green on. We'll be right back with Colleen Crowninshield, the queen of the Clean Cities Coalition. We may have coined a new phrase. Please stay here with me.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World. I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious gas prices are soaring. I'm thrilled to be getting 45 miles per gallon in town with my Honda Insight. Now is the perfect time to visit Chapman Tucson and check out the many fuel-efficient vehicles they have on their lots right now in every price range for every budget. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you. We are ready to celebrate good times, so come on. This is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It's actually live listening on Saturday, and we're doing an in-studio recording because as we speak, Colleen and I are live at the event we're going to be talking about. It's not too late for you to come, so we want to make sure that you stay listening. We'll give you a little teaser there so that you come out to an event that Mrs. Green will be in the house and Colleen will be the reigning queen a lot longer than I'll be there. So that's all I can say. Our in-studio guest is Colleen Crowninshield, coordinator for the Clean Cities Coalition. And oh my gosh, get ready for a fun and informative show. And if you just tuned in, please do check out that performance, Water is Rising at Centennial Hall. It's Friday, October 21st, and it just sounds absolutely off the charts for me. Science, cultural, and human impact of climate change, and I think we're fortunate to have, Jonathan Overpeck is going to be presenting. He got a Nobel Peace Prize. Right. I mean, it's really going to be an event to not be missed. So there you go. There's my shout out. So Colleen, let's do the start with, I like to call it the view from 30,000 feet. You're part of a national movement, a national coalition, and I would love you to share with our listeners, what is Clean Cities? What does it mean? How did it get started? Lots of things rolled into one there, but give people a feel for what the mission and vision is for this coalition.
Well, Clean Cities was actually started out of the Energy Policy Act of 1992.
Okay.
And one of the things that was really brought up was transportation fuels and petroleum in the transportation sector. Out of that, 1992.
Okay.
So out of that formed something called the Clean Cities Program. It is run through the U.S. Department of Energy, and it is housed at the U.S. Department of Energy in Washington, D.C. But what
where you go a lot and don't take me. We're just going to throw those little barbs in. Okay, go ahead.
All right. And so what they did was they formed a program to help address America's dependence on petroleum. At the time, it was more specific to foreign oil. Now it's really petroleum in the transportation sector. So there are about 90 coalitions across the U.S. There is an international Clean Cities program as well, which I just assisted the U.S. Department of Energy with a program in Kazakhstan. So there is an international aspect to the program.
Did you go there and you didn't tell me?
I didn't get to go there yet. I say yet because I plan
We're
to
hoping.
Do that. But there are about 90 coalitions across the U.S. Just about every state in the United States has at least one coalition. They are public-private partnerships that are formed.
Which I love that concept in everything I do.
It works.
Love it. It works.
It really
it does.
Works.
We're going to give some really solid examples that you've been a part of for that.
Well, and each coalition is formed just a little bit differently. So some are housed in government agencies. Some are housed within their air quality divisions. Some are at, like Tucson's, at the Council of Governments and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Some are privately funded.
And does the state get to decide where it's going to have its home?
No. Who decides is the entity that applies.
Okay.
Each entity must apply for what we call designation.
Okay, so there's voluntary participation. A state has to want it or a locale.
Well, or the state doesn't have to want it, but it works better if a state does. Now, there are some coalitions that the states don't even work with those coalitions, but they're not as active and they're not real viable coalitions. It works best if a state is at least on board with what the coalitions are doing. You write a designation request to the Department of Energy with a 5-year plan on how you are going to reduce petroleum use in the transportation sector.
Okay.
Increase alternative fueled vehicles and alternative fueling sites in your region, and who you're going to work with to do those things. So it's a pretty in-depth application that you have to do, and everyone must redesignate every 5 years.
And one of the things that I have to say, being late to the party, kind of, since 92, I was changing the world some other way, I think. But just in the years that I have been involved, the changes that I have witnessed by going to the Clean Cities meetings, by going to some of the ceremonies that you're speaking at or that are being hosted by this community. So when you say, you know, you say transportation, it is electric vehicles, it is biodiesel, it is compressed natural gas, it's all of those alternatives to just a pure petroleum-based way to fuel a vehicle.
We also work in certain areas, and I am one who very much advocates for mass transit, bicycling.
Awesome. Yes.
Fuel
Tucson
economy
is really coming alive with that.
And,
yes.
And fuel economy, just and what we call trip chaining. You know, when you have your day, when you get up in the morning and you plan your day, plan it in the best way possible.
Awesome. Yes.
To not have to go back home and then go out and go back home and then go out and, you know, trip chain that day. Make sure that you're looking at the best possible routes to use the least amount of petroleum.
And if everybody did that, what an impact we could have. I mean, it would be massive. So when you're looking at your plan for clean cities, what happens in terms of the exchange of information? There's probably a treasure trove of information with the national coalition. So before we get down to the level right here, how do you, as coalition members, I'm sure there are, I worked for government, I've been involved forever, public-private partnerships. There are rock stars, I'm sure, and I know you're a type
there
A
are.
Overachiever, so no need to go there. But how do you exchange information to maximize the generation of ideas and success programs that might work with each other?
Well, and I have to tell you, that's really, really important, both on from a Clean Cities Coalition perspective and those Clean Cities members.
Right,
okay?
Right.
So one of the things that we do as Clean Cities coordinators is we try to work with each other and handhold each other. I'm a part of something called a buddy system. When we have new coordinators that come in, I'm there to help mentor
them. Awesome. You help pave the way.
But we also, you know, if there are particular projects that we work on that just seem to be really exciting and have a lot of good collaboration, we share those projects with other coalitions across the United States. One of those that really comes to mind is when we were the very first state to green the Super Bowl.
Love it.
The Super Bowl happens every year, right?
I love it. Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Okay, love that.
So we...
You don't think of that in clean cities.
You absolutely don't.
Okay, so that's amazing.
But it's a great opportunity to A, get the word out about what we're doing, but B, have an impact on something so massive.
Massive that everybody in the world is watching.
Absolutely.
It's in the world. So how did you green this?
Oh my gosh. It was not easy. I need to hear
about this, though. It's worth it.
But what we did was we worked with the energy environment manager for the Super Bowl. Believe it or not, they do have one. NFL Environment Department is what it's called. And we were able to incorporate ethanol, E85, and biodiesel use within the large transportation
that happens during
the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh, massive.
But what was great about it is out of that, we got calls from Fox Sports. You can't imagine how many sporting events go on throughout the year. And so what we're trying to help them now proceed with is, how can we incorporate alternative fuels into all the sporting events? It's a big undertaking, but the Super Bowl is where we started. And then the next year and subsequent years, we passed on that information and continued to try to grow that. At a minimum, continued to try to make it happen. So the Super Bowl will be back in Arizona in 2015. I'll be so young by then, I can't wait to go.
Well, that's awesome.
And I'm assuming that I am going to likely try to expand what we did the first time and make it even better.
I think that's amazing. And sporting events, when you talk about that, you know, you think about planting your own little garden in your backyard, which is wonderful, and raising, you know, having herbs that you can pick fresh. when you think about the Super Bowl, to me, it's like planting a farm.
It's
because
amazing.
You have a massive audience. And even if 10% of the people go away with an increased awareness or 10% of the viewers, I mean, remember that Super Bowl commercial about the green commercial about the, it was the Audi, I think it was. And it was a couple of Super Bowls ago. It was so impactful that the cars were sold out and on back order forever because it was the green police. It had such an impact.
The things that are born out of that even
yes.
are just
ripple
unbelievable.
Effect.
And you know, I don't want to say smaller, but other ideas that we had was the Capitol Christmas tree. I mean,
yes, I remember that too.
And we were the very first state to ensure that the Capitol Christmas tree made it to Washington, D.C. from the state of Arizona on biodiesel.
Biodiesel. We go back, kiddo. That was several Christmases ago.
It was.
That
so
was really
those
great.
Are just the kinds of things that working with other coalitions, you can expand upon. You can really create an awareness. But also, it's so much fun. I mean, you can't imagine You can't imagine the smile that you get on
right.
your face to get and to do
And the ceremony things. About the Christmas tree involving the Native Americans. I mean, it was all a very, very spectacular, special event.
And what people don't understand is born out of that, the state of Arizona said, boy, let's take it a step further. Every ornament on the tree was made with recycled material.
I forgot that. it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
It's the ripple effect.
It's just a fantastic feeling to know that you've made such an impact on something. So it's just a warm fuzzy.
And again, the world is watching. So mm-hmm. I love that the world is watching. And I think if we can ever get on our, you know, to me, getting my green on, if I just didn't have to sleep, focusing on events in general, not just sporting events, but you go to
everything.
An event for a nonprofit that you really love, and the first thing you see when you walk in are 500 cases of bottled water. Not good. We got to get over it. We got to get past
we
it.
Gotta
we
move
have
forward.
To think. We got to.
But I have to
we
say,
gotta hurry up.
Out of that, I tell people this all the time. The Nissan Leaf, the seats in the Nissan Leaf are made from bottled waters. Plastic bottles.
And thank God we're finding uses for them.
The sooner the better. If you have to use them.
Recycle them.
Let's find a use
for
them.
So they end up somewhere else besides the landfill. I agree. And you know what? I don't care. Unless you're an extreme greenie, which I am going to die wanting to be, maybe. There's some things I just don't want to give up. I have to use plastic water bottles once in a while. And so all I do is make sure we do. You get in a situation where you're thirsty and that's the most readily available thing to quench your thirst.
But to know that you didn't just throw it in the garbage in the landfill, you put it
someplace.
You
might end up sitting on it.
Exactly. There you go.
That's the green trifecta. I love it. Okay. And I always try to remember here, the first R is reduce. So reduce and then reuse and then recycle if you have to touch that plastic bottle.
So that's how we work together on a national basis. We also get together twice a year.
I'm sure that's quite a party.
Coordinator.
Yes.
And we share ideas. We share failures. It's important to share failures because when we share our failures, we learn how to turn that around and make something good out of it. So
and then you prevent somebody else from trying the same thing
because
you generated the idea and said it didn't work, so let's not do that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really absolutely freaking amazing. And I can say freaking on the show. It's freaking, and I know how to spell it.
There you go.
So when you're talking about changing people's behavior, and I know because I live here that there is an impact from the Clean Cities Coalition, from the Solar Partnership.
I hope this. So.
No, there's no, that's a fact-based observation.
Good.
So how much do people's fears come into place? It's really like a challenge to me. It's a fear of either the unknown or trying something different. And in some cases, misinformation about what using a biodiesel fuel is going to do, about you're going to run out of electricity from here to Phoenix.
Gina, misinformation, in my opinion, is what stops the progress of
one of your biggest challenges.
It isn't, as you know, people who are miseducated, it's harder to turn that mindset.
Yep.
If they just don't know anything about it and you feed the information to them, they can take that
writing on a blank slate.
But when there's misinformation out there, that hurts us tenfold as to the other.
And things like the Clean Cities Coalition meetings for someone like me that mm-hmm. is not selling an EV station, I'm not managing a fleet with biodiesel, I'm the voice of the public that goes and has my questions answered so that when I'm even at a cocktail party or at a fundraising event, people can say something and I am very gentle and I hope really politically correct and diplomatic and say, you know, that's not really true. That's mm-hmm. part of the information. Mm-hmm. So people have the pebble in the pond effect about overcoming people's fears, because to me, we've got to hurry up and get there. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, because I think people really misunderstand this, even me sometimes, about biodiesel. Can I go take my French fry oil and filter it and put it in my, let's do a little fun Chapman plug here, my clean diesel TDI. I know there are warranty issues, but for someone that doesn't have one like me that's sponsored by Chapman, how does that work?
So just right there. I'm going to educate you just a little bit.
Love it. I'm educable.
Because there are two things that you've put together there that don't fit.
Okay.
So
see, I love it. I'm the lab.
You asked if you could filter your French fry oil and put it in your car. Okay.
Right, I did.
So, no. There you go.
And I won't.
There are two separate things that you're talking about. One of them is straight vegetable oil.
Right.
That can be used in diesel engines.
Right.
And absolutely, there are so many people doing that.
Hank Reisig hasn't put gas in his truck forever.
We've got
a green architect
so
locally.
Many people that are doing this. Biodiesel, on the other hand, is an ASTM standard fuel.
Say what ASTM is.
Oh, no. My goodness.
Oh, God. Maybe I stumped her.
Okay. It's a standard, manufacturer's standard.
Okay. All right.
And if you have an ASTM standard fuel,
okay,
you can use it even in your TDI and have no warranty issues. It is a federal law that states that if you are using an ASTM standard fuel, the burden goes to the auto manufacturer to prove that you are not using an ASTM standard fuel. Just about every major auto manufacturer has approved biodiesel, not straight vegetable oil,
but
biodiesel up to 20% in any diesel engine.
So where would I get it?
Well, right now you could get it at Arizona Petroleum.
Okay.
It's at 22nd and Cherry. You could get
it. What about EDG? Could you go down there or do they just
They're not retail selling it there yet.
Okay.
But you could also get it at the CNT Oil at Pima and Alvernon. They have two forms. They have B20 and B99, which is 99% biodiesel.
At Pima and Alvernon, mm-hmm. which is really close to my house. Not that anybody nationally is listening, but you probably have one close to your house too.
You do. And you can go on the U.S. Department of Energy's website and find these fueling sites for every alternative, including electric vehicle charging, in the entire United States.
I love it when I go to a coalition meeting or am in any public forum and someone says, I drove from Tucson to Phoenix, so if you don't know the geography of Arizona, it's about 120 miles average, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget this young man. I think he was like 14, so what was he doing driving? And he said, okay, so I admit it, I was scared. I drove my electric vehicle from Phoenix to Tucson. No problem. Yes. And it was just, I mean, to me, that would be so exciting to be able to do that, to just drive and know that I'm not using gas. I'm using my electric vehicle. Even when I had a hybrid, I love to watch it charge.
A lot of
and
people love that.
And no, I wasn't using any gas. It made me feel so noble.
It does. And, you know, I've got so many people also that talk about all electric vehicles as opposed to the Volt, which is not an all electric vehicle.
Right.
However, what I want people to understand about the Volt, the first 40 miles you go in the Volt is all battery. You are not using any gasoline. It's all battery. Most people, the general public, travels less than 40 miles a day.
I was going to say, like, I don't travel 40 miles a day. Rarely. Mm-hmm. Rarely. Most people
so
don't
you
commute
could,
to work or
you
whatever.
You could have that Volt. You could go to and from work, get your little shopping done and things, be using all electric, you know, entire battery. But then if you decide you want to go to San Diego, you've got the option.
Right.
So,
and there are charging stations between here and San Diego?
Not yet. I believe it.
That's that public-private partnership.
Absolutely.
And it'll be great. So the landscape is really changing. How about to me, one of the biggest things that I really think about a lot is how much, if let's just say every single driver, single-use driver in Tucson changed to an alternative fuel vehicle, whatever that looked like. Okay. How much of an impact would it make versus the massive focus that Clean Cities puts on fleets? Because you talk about driving 40 miles an hour a day. You see the post office, you see UPS, you see FedEx, you see courier services. I mean, people that their business is driving buses, school buses, fleets. What's the focus? What's the major impact we have to think about to hurry up and get there?
So we focus mostly on fleets.
Fleets.
All right. Although we also, the way we focus on the individual is by putting those retail sites out there to give them the option.
Right.
But our focus is mainly on fleets because that's where the bulk of the transportation fuel is used. Okay. And I hear a lot of people go, oh, really? How much of an impact can you really make with this?
Since I don't like when people say that.
There's a lot of negativity out there.
That's really
but
just
since
giving
2005,
it up.
Just since 2005, in Tucson alone, and this is only the members that are members of our coalition,
right,
have saved 49 million gallons of petroleum.
You are kidding me. That's one city. I love the bell. I could overuse
the
bell.
I
do.
Too.
I love it. It just pop makes things pop.
49 million. And that's
million.
Just since 2005. And that's only the fleets that are members of Tucson Clean Cities. That's huge.
It's what you're measuring, and probably there's some that are involved that you're not even able to measure. It's amazing to me.
Absolutely.
And I hope people are hearing that. It's, you know, I have these little tapes I play in my head. If it is to be, it's up to me. And
I
think the whole thing is everybody can make a difference. When we were at that, we went to this green fair out at Raytheon, and their theme was small steps, big impact. I was using that for 6 months. It's
everybody's.
That's what you're talking about. So I think that we want to talk a little bit about now, before we go to a break, is one absolutely to me stellar global example of what can happen in the public-private partnership with you, with Golden Eagle Distributors, and with none other than Ryder. Now, when that guy spoke and he said that it was number one on Yahoo search,
isn't
I'm like, okay,
great.
Next time it'll be number one on Google. But to be one on Yahoo search, talk about that partnership and what Golden Eagle did and couldn't have done it without Ryder, the Clean Cities role. It's pretty impressive on
it
a global
impressive.
Scale.
And I can't wait for that 1 year to go by so that we can talk about the amount of fuel that they've saved.
Right.
But Golden Eagle decided that
they're a distributor here because people won't know
they're
that.
An Anheuser-Busch
they're
distributor.
They're an Anheuser-Busch distributor.
Not solely Anheuser-Busch. They have other, but
other,
they're
right,
an Anheuser-Busch
right.
distributor here in Tucson. And they
very
are,
green company.
Oh,
they're
amazing.
They are
stellar.
Family
and
owned.
They said that they wanted to look at an alternative fuel to try to make an impact in their fleets. They checked out everything. They looked at every alternative there was. Biodiesel, straight vegetable oil, because there's an Anheuser-Busch distributor in St. Louis that's using straight vegetable oil. They honed in on natural gas.
They really did their homework.
They did their homework indeed. So they chose natural gas. They do not own their fleet. They lease their fleet through Ryder Trucking. Ryder was on board from the get-go. They have purchased all dedicated natural gas delivery trucks. That's where they're starting.
Ryder did that. I hope everybody's getting that. Ryder did that and nudged by the little engine that could,
the
Golden Eagle.
The tiny little engine. In the big picture, Golden Eagle is not a huge fleet for them.
But they're golden.
But they are. And so what they're also going to be doing is they're building natural gas fueling stations, and they're going to open them up for private or public use as well. So
it's such a pebble in the pond.
That's
you
great.
Just see it's like kind of throwing a boulder in, and there's a big wave of goodness that comes from the vision that they had to do it.
And what they're going to do now is they're going to do this throughout their delivery areas in all of Arizona. So we'll look at Casa Grande next, Flagstaff after that. The fueling will be made available to the general public. So they'll have one side for just their fueling, one side for the other.
And if you think about Arizona, it's a vast state. It's big. It's not not as big as Texas. We know that, but it's a big state. There's lots of distance between the dots. So too, when we talked earlier about the fleets, and they're the ones driving more, they're delivering beer and other beverages all day long, all over the state. So this is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. I hope you're having as much fun and learning as much as I am from Colleen Crowninshield, the coordinator for the Clean Cities Coalition. We're calling her the Queen. Please stay here with me. We will be right back with more information and the great stuff that's going on right now as we speak.
All this going green is new? The U of A School of Architecture has been offering energy audits to Arizona homes and businesses for more than 20 years. Now we're expanding that program to energize the economy, creating jobs that turn audits into applied solutions, real-world education, sustainable living, and economic development in one. Does it get any better than that? The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Hi, Mrs. Green here. Did you know you can reduce your water and fertilizer use in your yards and gardens by using Back2Feed? The Back2Feed system is economical, easy to use, and extremely effective. Back2Feed introduces billions of microbes into your soil using water. You simply add water to the powder, let it sit for 24 hours, and apply with a yard feeder. It is used on farms and golf courses all over the Southwest. Give your soil organisms with Back2Feed. Visit Back2Feed.com.
The Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway and Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313. 290-9313 or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to green up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Girl Scouts offers once-in-a-lifetime opportunities and experiences for all girls. By becoming a member yourself, for only $12, you are helping to make this possible. As a member, you don't have to be a troop leader or even have a daughter in Girl Scouts. Being a member means that you want to support girls in Southern Arizona and inspire them to have courage, confidence, and character. To unleash a girl's potential and support the Girl Scout movement, visit the community tab at GirlScoutsSOAZ.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And yes, I laugh because the boys are back in town, and I love to say this, the girls are here now. This is, for your information, a fun pre-recorded show because we haven't figured out the Harry Potter thing where we can apparate and be two places at once. So when you're listening to this, Mrs. Green and the Queen of Clean Cities, two queens, I'm the Queen of Green. I am claiming it. I love it. So we are out at an event that I think is a perfect segue to go into now because it's part of my mission is to get people out and involved in these kind of events. This is a it's got it all, if you ask me. It's about family. It's about safety. It's about kids. It's about kids can go free, and it's about community. And to me, the community is going to change the world, not government policy, not global mandates. So talk about the event that we are at right now. I love doing that.
All right. So the event we are at is called Project Grad Extreme. And this
love was, the name.
It was born out of quite a few women and men who are on PTAs, PTOs, whatever you want to call them, and saying, we want our high school seniors to be able to have a safe, fun, exciting party on graduation night where they're not out getting into a lot of trouble. They're
drinking and driving.
Well, you know, 3 a.m. And,
yes.
And we lose a lot of high school seniors to that very thing. So they put together a Project Grad. And what it is on graduation night, they pull them all into a multi-purpose room.
You can only go in one way.
That's right.
Have to stay.
You
My
have
daughter
to stay
has
the
done
entire
it.
Night.
Yes.
And all, I think, I would say pretty much all high schools now are doing a form of Project Grad. But they, you know, some schools have bands that come in. They always have at least a DJ. They feed them. They have more soda than these kids can drink. And they've got food and they've got
and they
fun.
Party.
And they party. They dance all night long. And I'll tell you, my niece graduated 2 years ago and said it was the best fun she'd had.
And it's got to feel like a relief for them. Because
everybody's
going.
It's a relief for the parents.
My niece went, and my daughter, yeah.
So the car show that we're doing, or we're helping with, is there to raise money for that party.
In May.
So that's kind of what it's all about. And
so what's going to be happening? What are we doing now?
There's
320 cars.
Oh,
is that correct?
I don't even remember how
That's
many
what your
cars.
Website says. That's a lot. I
would assume. And we have 5 alternative fueled vehicles that we're showing. The cars, there are antique cars everywhere. There are different categories. There'll be trophies given. We've got an alternative fuel vehicle trophy that we're giving. And I got to tell you, Isabella's ice cream will be there.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I love throwing
it. Everybody does.
They're like
the sweetheart.
They are amazing.
We have to explain what Isabella's ice cream is. It's every event that I'm at. I try to get them there. And
go
they're
on my website and click on Isabella's ice cream. They have an antique Model A vehicle
The coolest
it's
looking
so
vehicle.
Awesome.
It is.
They have retrofitted it to run on all battery. It's all electric. They have solar power that helps power their freezer for their ice cream. They have all organic ice cream.
That they bring with them. It's so adorable.
Their ice cream is amazing. And one step further, all the wood paneling on this vehicle is wood from McHale Center.
People around here,
how cool
if
is
you're
that?
A Wildcat fan, that matters. It's like a relic. It's
absolutely.
Like the piece of the Holy Grail is in
absolutely.
Their vehicle. It's
absolutely.
Great. So they're going to be there outside.
They'll be out
selling
there
ice cream. I'll be getting some.
Yep, they'll be there with us. And we will have a vehicle that runs on E85. We will have an all-electric vehicle. We will have a Volt there because I get to drive it there. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Who are you borrowing that from?
Actually, O'Reilly Chevrolet is allowing me to bring their Volt.
Awesome. So a little shout out for them.
Yep. Shout out for them for doing this for us. We will have a dedicated propane Ford F-250 that Roush has allowed us to bring.
Awesome.
And we will have a dedicated natural gas truck and a fuel maker and a fill display so people can see how they can tap into their home Southwest gas line and slow fuel their vehicle overnight for about $1.30 a gallon.
People, listen to this.
$1.30 a gallon.
So Mr. Green doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be helping me out there. And this is the kind of thing where he enjoys going, and so do I. We went to one that you had out at Foothills Mall a couple years ago, the Odyssey Fuel.
Oh, that was too much
and
fun.
And those guys there, I mean, I'm like eating it up, not literally, but looking at these guys that make, they like cook their own juice. That's basically how I said it. They make their own fuel. And then this guy's telling me he makes soap out of another byproduct of it.
I'm the glycerin byproduct?
It ignites me. It absolutely ignites me. So is there a charge for this? Where is the event? If people can still go.
They can.
I think it's $5 for adults and free for kids.
Free for kids. And if you want to display,
let's remember that.
It is a fundraiser. People and the funds that we're raising is for every high school student to be able to be safe on graduation.
Help save a life. Come on. $5. And that's not exaggerating.
But you can also still have a space if you have an antique vehicle that you want to show. It's $25. And I'm actually showing my father-in-law's 1967 Rally Sport Super Sport convertible Camaro.
So is that like an antique vehicle now?
Yeah.
I'm really sad.
So, last year I showed his 55 Chevy, but this year I'm going with the Camaro. So
okay, so but we'll just have... don't call it an antique vehicle. I'm having a little moment here, guys.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's like I was like well on my teens at that time. I am not an antique yet. So just older. But you know, in our lifetime, they will be. They will be.
Well, can get antique plates for it. There you go. And that.
That makes
our registration
so much better. I feel so much better.
You know, it's absolutely phenomenal event. And if you're not into cars, or if your wife is not into cars, but you're into cars, you can bring your wife with you because there is also a inside. They have a craft fair.
And I'm going to be all over that.
Absolutely. There's some really cool stuff that's displayed there. Great
community,
for the kids.
community. This
absolutely
screams community to me. So where is it?
It is at Canyon Del Oro High School.
High School, easy to get to.
Very easy. North Oracle Road and Calle Concordia.
Concordia. So
just
northwest
where
side.
It used to be James Cray Park. A lot of people know James Cray.
Yes.
I don't remember what they renamed it, but it's right next door to that.
And what I know is people will come from all over the state.
Absolutely.
I know they will because you're publicizing it and people will come. I remember last year they said we came up from Sierra Vista and I was like, huh? Not last year, a couple years ago when I was really just getting into the awareness, and it will be quite a draw. You can find out about it on my website, on your website.
Absolutely.
I talked to James earlier, your James, and one of your Jameses. There's a lot of Jameses here. It's like you've got two Jameses, but James in your office, who is a really great teammate of yours. It's a little bit hard to find on the website. People can email me. You have to go to PEMA.
I'll try to pull it out a little
today. And it should be, to me, a featured event on the PEMA Association of Governments page. But I mean, it's if you want to find it, you can always email Mrs. Green, or you can just Google it because it'll come up on Google. So I think that's fun. And it's 320 cars. That kind of blows me away. And I have to ask you, is Bob Oldfather going to be involved in it?
You know,
We've got to call Amy.
Like,
I just was texting them earlier. So we've got to make sure, because he's all over the
he's got cool old vehicles.
And Bookman's Entertainment Exchange has an EV.
They have several EV charging stations.
Another community service, another public-private partnership. And
he's amazing. He's such a great partner.
And his partner is such a great partner. They're a really good team. And if I tell them about Isabella's organic ice cream, that might be an enticement. We have to work him.
All right, I'll work him. I'll call him today.
His vehicles are so absolutely amazing.
My problem with the alternative fuels is I only had 5 spots. So I was trying to get one of every alternative so that people really got to see the full, you know, perspective of what's available out there.
And in terms of the perspective of what's available, mm-hmm. I know that I drive a Jetta TDI, clean mm-hmm. fuel burning. So that's just categorized as a diesel vehicle for clean. I mean,
cleaner fuel. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty pure in terms of other vehicles that mm-hmm. are out there, and it makes me, you know, I like it, and I get great gas mileage, but it's not really an alt fuel vehicle.
It's not an alternative fuel. It could be
because
someday. you can use biodiesel in it up to 20%. I wouldn't suggest anyone use any more than that for a brand new vehicle, but up to 20% you can use. But it runs on ultra low sulfur diesel. And right now in the state of Arizona and pretty much throughout the United States, if you're going to buy diesel retail at any place that you purchase your diesel fuel, that's all that's available now. And the difference there is that it's 15 parts per million of sulfur, down from the some 50 parts per million that it used to be.
So it's really a very collective sigh of relief for our breathing
Absolutely.
And our atmosphere. And I love
Absolutely.
It. I blog about it. I Facebook about it, because literally for some of them that are really highly rated, the Volkswagen, you could breathe the air in like right up next to the exhaust. And it's
I think
clean
what,
burning.
What people don't understand is our school buses are using that same fuel. And children breathe 50% more air than we breathe. You know, so it's really important that we get the best and cleanest for our children.
Some days I don't think you and I breathe at all, but that's a story for another show on a nighttime wine.
There you
go.
I
still have these dreams of these other shows. Okay, so you have that event. Who else is involved in partnering with it? It's a huge event, and I guess I want to press pause for a minute because you have. We have 1 minute till the break, but when we come back, this would be a perfect thing to come back to. We talked about community. This is a community event. We talked about partnerships. And putting something like this together with 320 vehicles or however many they'll end up being there and organizing it, it's a lot to organize events.
And everybody's a volunteer.
Oh,
nobody
my goodness.
Who has put this all together gets paid for what they're doing. This
okay,
is all
so
volunteer.
We can talk about some of your other partners. If you just Great. Tuned in, where the heck have you been? I just want to know, because if you're not having fun, I want to hear about it. Gina at Mrs. Green's World. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. I never did remember to say follow me on Facebook and Twitter to stay tuned about all this stuff. Please stay here with me. More from Colleen Crown and Shield about her look into the future when we come back.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway in Prudence, Northwest I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
A big challenge of sustainability is making it affordable to everyday folks. It's a challenge we welcome at the U of A, where architecture students are applying years of research to building energy-smart, low-income housing. Students get hands-on learning, families in need get cutting-edge, money-saving homes, and home builders, well, they get a whole new benchmark. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green. Did you know that you can save up to $258 a year on fuel costs when you drive a VW 2011 Jetta TDI clean diesel from Chapman? And you can travel up to 609 miles per tank and reduce those ugly, sooty emissions by 90%. And remember, Chapman doesn't just sell cars. They provide you with the best ownership experience possible. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent
you. Mrs. Green here for Back to Feed. Are your carrots the size of Q-tips? Are your string beans all strung out? Have the petals fallen off the rose? Does your lawn yawn? Sounds like you could use some organisms. 100% natural Back to Feed provides billions of organisms that improve the organic composition of your soil. And it gets even better. You'll even use less water and fertilizer. Give your lawn and garden what it needs. Back to Feed. Find us at backtofeed.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. This show is indeed sponsored by the Fairfax Company, and we're so glad that you tuned in today to listen to us. We have a fun, informative, talkative, like me, in-studio guest, Colleen Crown and Shield, who is the coordinator for the Clean Cities Coalition. And OMG, does time fly. We were talking off-air about no matter how much time we have, there's always something to celebrate and talk about and share. So we're talking about the event that's going on as we speak, which is the Project Grad Extreme. Yes?
Yes.
I love that. It's
yes.
like, I mean it. And I hope it picks up, like, I'm going to be tweeting about it. I'll be filtering in some tweets and,
right.
and hashtag Tucson so that people who are out and about can bring their families and come and learn and have fun. Good, clean fun, no pun intended. And of course, who would not want some of Isabella's ice cream? I know I will be probably having be on my second one. Okay, so we have to talk a little bit about solar, because another one that comes under your purview is the solar partnership.
Yes.
It is a hugely hot topic in the state of Arizona right now, no pun intended. TEP is a partner. There are incentives. So tell me about what your role is with the solar partnership, and that we have to talk about the standards board, which is another probably national model.
Well, it is. It's actually the very first. The standards board is the first of its kind in the nation.
So much, I'm
and
sorry.
I love this. Well, what's great is I just feel like Tucson is just the hotbed for first of its kind.
Too.
First of its kind, and I love that.
And I want the world to be listening.
The solar partnership actually has been around for about 8 years, and it is, again, another public-private partnership that was put together really to help people come together and help move solar forward.
Which we have enormously.
Enormously. But to look for grant opportunities, to help businesses, to look at solar and to begin to adopt solar practices at their businesses, homes. So the partnership itself was born out of just an idea of, we've got all these different solar things going on everywhere, but not one funnel to funnel it through so that we know we're all on the same path.
A coordination of effort,
and
which
that's
is
what,
so important.
It's so important. And that's what the partnership is. Now, we just formed very recently something called the Southern Arizona Solar Standards Board. That was formed out of a need to look at companies that really do not have a vested interest in Tucson.
Yeah, I call them the solar carpet baggers, and it's okay, I can.
And you're,
it's my show.
And really, and that's right. They've come in.
To make money.
And that's all. And then they're going to be gone.
I'm not against making money, but
absolutely
it's how you
not.
Do it.
That's what I tell everybody.
I know you're not either.
No, that's, hey, we all have to put food on the table. We all want to retire at some point. But these companies have no vested interest in our city, and they're not doing things up to a standard that we would all want. So the standards board has a bunch of solar installers in our area that have all gotten together, and we have worked with them to write standards and best practices for solar companies to adhere to so that we can move forward with solar in the right way and in the best way for our community. So it is the first of its kind in the nation.
It has been a lot of work,
but boy, it's very rewarding. And we were able to, with the standards board and the partnership this month, we were able to convince the mayor and council, it wasn't difficult to do, to proclaim October Solar Awareness Month.
Awesome.
And what we are doing all month long is we're offering tours of companies who have adopted solar in their business.
And there were some going on this week. I know that because I talked to James about it. He said, getting ready for another solar tour. What's the interest level? High?
Oh, not high enough, in my opinion.
And part of that is getting the word out,
Part of that is just getting the word out. I don't think it's that people aren't interested in solar. I think that one of the things is we put the tours during the day. I think that's more difficult. We had some on the weekend, but during the day is a little more difficult. I just want to say, and I know this is bad to do, but I want to give a shout out to Brooklyn Pizza.
There's nothing bad on the show, except if we use profanity,
which
we could, but we don't want to.
Well, let me tell you, Brooklyn Pizza not only has solar, but they also have put charging infrastructure for electric vehicles at their site.
They have great pizza. We don't want to forget that.
And we don't want to forget
great
that.
Great garlic knots.
And they have purchased a Nissan Leaf, all electric Nissan Leaf. And I'm sure they're going to look at more in the future, but they are charging it by solar.
That's amazing.
How cool
is
that?
One small business and one small step. I love this. One small step for mankind. How profound.
But I'll tell you what, I have about 10 private people in the city now that are going, wow, how they do that. I want to do that.
So it is. I love, you can't overuse the pebble in the pond. Be the pebble. That's what I want to tell people.
And
be the pebble.
And I'm hoping that we are a pebble, that I am a pebble. And I'm hoping that, things that I get out there to the community make a difference. And that's the whole idea.
Well, I'm out in the community and it is making a difference. And I've been to a lot of the solar meetings. And one of the things that amazes me is the respect the mutual respect in this town. It's only a phone call away. I can call George from Geo Innovation. I can call Kevin from Technicians for Sustainability. You can call Net Zero. And they don't ever badmouth each other.
They don't.
They don't. And George and Kevin especially will say, well, I know George would disagree with this, and he'd say go this way. And George will say, well, I know Kevin would disagree with me, and he'd say go that way. How respectful and awesome is that?
But we bring them all into a meeting room because they're all on the
common
board.
Common intention.
And they are. We're all hoping to achieve the same thing. There is no one way to achieve that thing. So let's all work together to achieve it. And we can do it in the best way possible for our community.
And I think we have, like, you know, the innovation of the University of Arizona.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're doing great things. And they really do work in partnership with TEP and with you. And they, I mean, talk about moving the state forward. They are great partners in sustainability. And to me, solar could be one of the biggest investments you make as a homeowner. So doing your homework, checking with the Solar Standards Board, checking out references, it's really important. It's like buying a house. Find out how long the company's been in business, how long they've had a place in
Tucson. Well, and that's one of the things that we're doing with the Standards Board. We have a website, and all the companies that are participating with the Standards Board, even if they're not quite to the level that we hope they are, we have an in-progress section, and people can call us and say, I'm looking to put solar on my business or on my home, and we can give them the name of those companies that really have adhered to a high level of standard.
So without recommending them, you can give them choices and
absolutely.
These are the ones that they have really withstood our tests, and it's really, to me, it's great. I mean, it can be a huge investment. Let me ask you this. This is a little bit more controversial, I think, and I'm mixed about it. So just tell me what you think. I am. I really am.
All
because
right.
To me, there's a part of me as a business owner and as someone that's fiercely independent. I think at some point, solar has to stand on its own.
It does.
And not be incentivized by the government. It's like, really? I understand to jumpstart it and to get over people's fears. I believe that companies like Geo Innovation and Technicians for, and I'm not trying to do commercials for them, I think they agree with me that it's getting it out there, the early adopters, but I think at some point pretty soon it has to be a standalone business entity. Do you agree with that?
I do agree, and I also agree with that from an alternative fuels perspective. I hear that a lot. One of the things I want everybody to understand about incentives, both for solar and for alternative fuels, is that if we would stop incentives for alternative fuels and for solar, I want to stop all the incentives and tax breaks that we get for the other side as well.
Great way to put it.
So
great way to put it.
If we're, you know, and I agree with you. I think ethanol, biodiesel, boy, we're sure giving incentives for those. However, we've got to stop the incentives for the petroleum companies.
Highly subsidized. Thank you so much. I mean, yes. And I was listening today to a talk radio show because I always do my homework wanting to be the best radio talk show host. And they were talking about, it's a buzz, Warren Buffett fully disclosed his tax returns, fully made it a public document, and he paid 24% in income tax. He made $63 million last year, and he says that's a disgrace.
I agree.
So there's the breaks, and it's, you know, it's a whole another topic, but it's the same thing. Let's have some equity here, mm-hmm. and not just come across the new kid in the block and bash them. Let's go with some of the other heavily incentivized farming. I mean, you and I could go on and on with what the government subsidizes, and this becomes an easy target, and it's pennies on the dollar. Compared to what is going on. So I'm really glad that we brought that up. Okay.
Me too.
5 years down the road, I've seen things change in the past 3.5, almost 4 years. More alt vehicles on there, more people joining the coalition, mm-hmm. more people present at meetings, more charging stations. I mean, more. How fast does it have to change, and how fast do you think it will? And is there a more silver bullet, not a silver bullet, in terms of where you think the waves are shifting right now? There have been shifts, even the time that I've been there.
Oh, there's been so many shifts. Just since I took the coalition over in 2001, the change that has happened between then and now is astronomical. Where do I see us heading? I think that we're definitely going to look at a more diversified alternative. What I mean by that is if everybody went out and bought an electric vehicle tomorrow,
we'd be
in a lot of trouble.
Won't happen.
If everybody went out and bought a flex fuel vehicle and ran all ethanol, and you know, that's very controversial anyway, but boy, there's some great things happening in ethanol too. So we'd be in a lot of trouble. We wouldn't have enough. I think the diversification is what we have to see. And I think we're seeing that. We are definitely seeing that.
Even with compressed natural gas, I see a lot more growth in that area as
absolutely.
Well. And it is a natural resource. We can get past, I hope, the fracking issue, which is another show. But I think that there's a lot of pressure on that whole to clean that up.
Oh, absolutely.
But then there is that all that gas sitting there that could mm-hmm. be used if it's extracted in the right way hurt the environment.
And, you know, I've had this conversation with so many people and they say, you're opposed to drilling. I'm not opposed to drilling for our own oil on our own land.
Right.
I want to do it the proper way.
Right. The right
because
way.
I tell you what, when I go to San Diego, I love to see the ocean. I love to see my daughter my middle child, she'll go so far out. She's a speck,
little speck
in the water.
In the clean ocean, hopefully.
I certainly don't want to see her out there with oil.
An oil rig. Okay. So you're not going to believe this, and I'm glad I fit it in. I'm glad that I got the signal that we have 1 minute left because I want to congratulate Colleen. She is the recipient. She doesn't like me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. She's been selected to be one of the first members of the Clean Cities Hall of Fame nationally. And I'm really proud of you for that. I think it brings
Thank
a lot of
you.
Pride to Tucson.
It does.
It's a reflection of your hard work and the work of a lot of great people. So I appreciate your being with us. Great guest, Colleen Crowninshield. Congratulations,
Thank
Clean
you.
Cities Hall of Fame. Another trip she gets to go on that I don't.
Yay.
Next week, you've got to tune in. It's a guy from Looped Works. I have no idea what Looped Works is, but we're going to find out. It's about all stuff made from recycled materials, and it's literally LOOP, Looped Works. So thanks for staying here with us, and have a great weekend.